TheUnce.com. This is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at TheUnce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests today are Johnny Attar and Mark Emanuel, better known as viral dubstep sensation Claypex. This Canadian-ish duo is responsible for some of the most popular remixes and original tracks floating around the internets today. And this is all without even playing one live show. They just released a sensational new album, Ready to Go, and we're going to hear all about it. But first, let's get a quick word in from today's sponsor, Summer Camp Music Festival. Yes, summer has officially arrived. Summer Camp is Memorial Day weekend. That's next week, people, Thursday through Sunday. Headliners include Pretty Light, Spangle, Gigantic Underground Conspiracy featuring members of the Disco Biscuits, Conspirator, and Big Gigantic, as well as Iodo, 12th Planet, and many, many more. Also, I'm going to be taping an episode of the Unce Podcast live from the EDM Workshop at Summer Camp. That's at 4:30 on Friday in the church. I'll be hosting a panel discussion about dance music. We'll have demos, Q&A, and a lot more. Details online and tickets still available at summercampmusicfestival.com. This is in Chillicothe, Illinois, a couple of hours southwest of Chicago. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode of the Unce Podcast, just drop me a line, A-N-A-N-D at theunce.com. Let's get to the interview. Johnny, are you originally from Miami?
Well, our history is a little bit more complicated than that. To make a long story short, basically, my mother, she used to work as a diplomat for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Israel, so my family get tossed around a lot all over the world. Mm-hmm. I lived in Toronto between the ages of 15 to 19 or 20 or so, and Mark lived here at the time too, so we got really close as best friends during that time, and we started making rock music, and you know, we kind of developed our sense for creativity back then. The problem was when I turned 20, my family had to move away. I mean, our diplomatic contract was ending, so we had no choice really. So my parents decided to retire for Miami. And you know, I kind of decided that the whole education university scene wasn't really for me. I did go to school and dropped out afterwards. So what I did was I came back here a year later and we started collaborating on pop music. And then a couple months after that, we came to Miami, and there was a third member for that pop act, and it didn't really go so well. And on the side, I was sort of making dubstep lights. I was just playing around with the idea, and then Mark really fell in love with that. And we were like, all right, this is what we should be doing. So after the pop thing sort of inevitably disbanded as is, we started Claypex in Miami and moved to Toronto, and that's when we finished Loose Dirt.
And so, Mark, tell me, you guys have been making music then for years and years. What were those first few times getting together? I imagine, you know, jamming in your parents' basement, maybe?
Exactly, yeah, spot on.
Exactly, yeah. Like Johnny said, we were making rock music, and I couldn't play any instrument back then, and we had a drummer and we had Johnny on guitar, and Johnny told me, hey Mark, you should pick up the bass and start playing bass, because he knew I loved bass. Every time a song came on, I was like, oh damn, that bass. and he's like, you should really pick it up, it would be for you. And I said, you know what, why not? So I went out and I bought a bass and I started playing, and I loved it so much that basically almost less than 6 months later, we were already recording and jamming and looking for live shows, but that didn't really go anywhere. And we loved it, so we just kept making more and more music. We made two albums actually, but after 2 years of doing that, we realized like we can't rock is kind of like a dying genre, you know, and hard for us to succeed doing that. So we kind of turned to pop, which we thought would be easier to get into. And that was also a mistake, because unless you have a huge label backing you or some connections, then you're not going to make it anywhere with pop.
For an independent artist, it's basically an impenetrable bubble.
Sure, sure, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and we realized it wasn't our thing when I saw Johnny producing some dubstep for the first time. I said, this is what we should be doing, not pop. And I completely fell in love with it. And the third member back then didn't like that at all. He's like, I don't know, I just don't like the style of this music. You guys aren't very good at it. Back then it was a little bit still learning about how to make dubstep, how to approach like the electronic music scene. And he basically gave up on it, but we thought the potential was there, so we went for it together, and now we love doing it.
Yeah.
And so you've progressed together with your various interests and I imagine developed this sort of symbiotic relationship when it comes to creativity and can almost read each other's minds at this point just because you've been creating music together for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it for sure.
Oh, definitely. When it comes to the production mindset also, when you start out as a rock band, you really think like the mindset goes like jam out with your friends and play live. And, you know, once you get an opportunity to record that stuff, then someone will help you out or, you know, like a label or a scout or something. Even back then when we were doing rock, we knew like there's no chance that's going to happen. Like in today's world, it doesn't work that way. So we immediately knew if we wanted to get crap done, we got to do it ourselves. So as soon as we had some ideas in terms of original tracks, we started punching in tabs in Guitar Pro. And after a while, we decided, okay, we got to make this thing real. We were like, all right, we got Max. We have GarageBand. Let's pick that stuff up. So we started recording our songs into that. And, you know, we noticed all of these electronic synths that, you know, are included in GarageBand. Obviously, you can't really edit much in it, but there were so many presets and so many possibilities. So we added a lot of electronic elements to our rock tracks back then, too. But the point is, we didn't have money for a studio and we didn't want to wait around. So we picked up production really early on, even though it's not precisely the rock mindset per se, when everything is sort of spoon-fed for you. Like you go into a studio with a producer that does stuff for you and you don't really have to do much other than play the things that you wrote. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that production mindset was something that was, I think, adamant early on. Like, and I think that played a big role in our transformation to electronic.
That being said, that, you know, that stab at pop music, you still have the elements, you know, especially big female vocals and a lot of the crispness of the production. Mm-hmm. You still bring that pop aesthetic to this.
Oh, definitely.
You know, this genre dubstep that's supposed to be grimy and nasty and all that. So I feel like you've fused those worlds in a way.
Yeah, I mean, we really, really fell in love with dubstep as soon as, you know, that stuff came out. And, honestly, just a couple days ago, we realized that we're not even big fans of what you would consider normally dubstep, just because of what you just mentioned. The vibe is very constricted and you've got the whole grime thing going on and not much past that. But we think that the potential of dubstep and electronic music in general is so much more than that. You can do so much more than just grimy and dirty, you know? It can be poppy, it can be happy, it can be emotional, it can be chill. There's a lot of things that are being missed, we feel, and, you know, coming from so many musical backgrounds, we think that we can put a new spin on. Take your shot,
take the fight. Claypex with their remix of Drugs by Dubs.
Mark, I'm curious. Tell me about the difference between the scenes in Toronto and Miami. In Toronto, you think you've got your big dubstep stars. You know, Zed's Dead is huge there in Toronto. And when you think of Miami, you think Winter Music Conference and Ultra Music Festival. So, like, you know, these big, really popular acts and just the Miami dance scene is so vibrant. But it seems like it's worlds apart from that in Toronto.
It's very different here, definitely. And for us specifically, it's not even just the scene. It's actually just the weather and the atmosphere, like the vibe.
I'm sure.
We wrote half of Loose Dirt in Miami and half of it in Toronto. And I think you can kind of hear it because the songs that we did write in Miami are a little bit happier and fast-paced, and the ones we wrote here are a little bit deeper and bigger sounding. I think that's definitely because of the different vibes of the cities. But I don't know, we like that contrast. We like going back and forth and getting different inspirations.
Yeah. Not just for music, but personal too. It's nice to have a change.
Of course.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, were you getting popular locally, either in Toronto or in Miami, or is it all about blogs and getting, you know, that internet buzz going and just putting remixes out or putting tracks out so that people will jump on those and start passing those around?
That's the thing. We did kind of do the whole thing backwards. Normally, it's conventional that you start out live and that's how you get big locally and you start getting your name out, you know, around your area. And then from there, you expand. But we're sort of, the way it progressed for us is sort of we came from the outside in as opposed to from the inside out, if you know what I mean. It's like, when we did finish our first EP, we put it out for free. We really wanted to get the word out. We wanted to know what people would think. You know, we were really excited about, you know, what we did. And that's exactly what happened. There was buzz that generated around that, and some big things happened because of that. And, you know, that's really what got us where we were today. And funny enough, we haven't even played a live show just yet. The way it all progressed, we got, you know, not really popular, but, you know, somewhat popular pretty fast. And that
sure.
was kind of overwhelming, the idea of starting out with this immense brand that we need to maintain and not just sort of like a very local up-and-comer. It's a little different now. So, you know, we need to make sure that we bring 100% of our game to the table.
So then, Mark, what is the plan to then take the Klaypex brand to the stage? Have you sort of charted out how you're going to make this leap? Or is it at this point, you know, you still have to hone your DJing skills, essentially?
Exactly. That's what we're planning to do. We were thinking of first playing shows locally, not even under the Klaypex name, just for practice and to see how it goes. And we were thinking, like, even like get the gear and play at home first, just practice, and then play the gigs, and then eventually in the next few months, starting the live shows as Klaypex, when we feel confident enough to play under that brand as Klaypex. And I think that's coming very soon. I think this fall we're already going to start touring in North America.
How do you see yourself? I mean, these are probably just initial conversations that you're just beginning to have, but do you feel like as Klaypex, you will skew more to the side where you're playing your own originals and remixes and really making your sets centered around your sound? Or do you feel like you'll be playing more of other people's stuff and really crafting an entire mix out of multiple different artists and sort of telling a story with the works of others? Have you begun to think about how that's going to go?
Well, if it was up to us, we definitely want it to be a lot more personal, as opposed to just, we feel like the vibes are really different. If you go to a random club at any given night and, you know, you don't really think about the DJ who's playing, you're just there to hear some tunes and nobody looks at the DJ. Everyone just sort of dances and has a good time. But it's different if you're going to see, you know, for example, you can say, I'm going to this club, and you name the club, and you go there and you have a good time and you hear music that you like, top 40s and whatever. Or you can say, I'm going to see Deadmau5 or something, for example. And that's what people expect, for it to be personal and centered around him. So again, it's like, we feel like it's really up to the promoter to decide what he or she would hire us for. But if it were up to us, we definitely prefer the more personal side of it, where we can really connect with our fans in that way, as opposed to just playing for a crowd. It's a preference, but obviously both would be crazy fun.
Sunrise featuring Sarah Kay from Klaypex's new album Ready to Go, right here on the Unz Podcast.
Talk about the studio work. If you could, Mark, tell me, what is the biggest thing you see as a demonstration of the Klaypex evolution from Loose Dirt to Ready to Go, your latest release, which came out recently?
Well, I think Loose Dirt was our very first take at electronic music as a duo. And I like to believe we did a really good job, because obviously it's music we like, otherwise we wouldn't be making it. But we feel like Ready to Go is a more mature sound to our signature sound, and a more developed sound, more diverse, definitely, because in Loose Dirt, it was mostly dubstep. It was mostly 140 to 145 BPM. And in Ready to Go, we explored a lot with the genres, with the BPMs, with just a lot of different sounds, a lot of different samples. And if you look at Ready to Go, the BPMs range from 110 to 175, where Loose Dirt has maybe one electro house track and then the rest are dubstep. So we feel like we've really expanded in terms of genres and sounds.
On top of that, Johnny, I imagine you have, on the back of Loose Dirt, gotten a lot of offers for collaborations, or vocalists who are saying, here, take my stuff, or do you want to work together? Or you at least have the industry cachet to be able to reach out to some of these people that you've wanted to work with and say, hey, look, we're already pretty popular.
Yeah, that's always something that you look forward to. I mean, obviously, we were huge fans before we were producers ourselves, so it keeps kind of coming back to us, you know, the honor of being able to even talk to these people. And, you know, we were able to, we collaborated with Catfire on the track Let It Go, which is now featured in Loose Dirt as well. And that was actually also an honor for us. We were fans of his E.T. remix before he even approached us about a collaboration. And, you know, it's something that he keeps sort of stunning us, you know, like, we're still not even used to these privileges that we have now. So it's always an honor, and it's always crazy, you know? That feeling doesn't go away, I don't think.
Mark, you were saying that obviously your production's gonna be taken to another level because you're older, you're wiser, you know more about what your sound is. Was it also technological in the way that now you've gotten access to better software, better hardware, you can actually increase the quality of the production itself by just the tools that you're using?
Actually, we have the exact same gear as we did back then for Loose Dirt.
Oh, that's great. Staying true to your sound.
I mean, yeah, we've really gotten used to these monitors and this setup to the point where we feel really comfortable, and we feel like we don't have limits, that the limit is actually just within us, within our own capabilities, and not the gear that we own.
Definitely, you can do more with more, but, you know, hopefully in the far future we'll get to play around with some toys, but for now this is more than enough, and we're more than happy to continue with our Rocket 5s and little duet. That's pretty much all we've got, and we're happy with it.
That's great. Tell me about the dynamic in the studio between the two of you. Is it like back in the day, Mark on bass and Johnny on melodies, or have your roles switched or changed in any way, or does it still seem like it's, you know, you guys in your parents' basement with a guitar and a bass, only this time it's bass and harmonies and melodies on a computer screen?
Actually, I think we work really well together, and we don't constrict ourselves. We don't tell each other, oh, you do this, I do that. It's whatever each person can bring to the table to every specific song. Sometimes I'll do the melodies, sometimes Johnny will, sometimes I'll come up with a vocal line, sometimes he will. It just whatever, there's only basically one rule, and it's that we have to both agree on something for it to happen.
Yeah, sometimes there's clashes, but we like to call it a necessary frustration.
Yeah, sure. Unless we both agree on something, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So you guys are obviously, as you mentioned, first fans of the music. Were you listening to a particular artist or selection of artists that really influenced and got into your head when you were working on Ready to Go? Or do you try and shut off the outside world? I wonder, you know, you probably have your finger on the pulse of who's hot and that new sound in the dance music scene. But I don't know, some artists don't want their head cluttered with the work of others, or maybe afraid of being too derivative if they listen to too much of one person or another's music. I wonder, was there an influence that you let in, or did you close yourselves off?
No, we don't really like to close ourselves off. We like to listen to everything in our own genre. We're really interested in EDM in general, so we listen to a lot of different artists. And I think what sparked our interest in dubstep was actually the old Feed Me and Zed's Dead tracks and Nero, which we heard. I'm sure you know the track Innocence by Nero. That was one of the very first tracks we've heard.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, and Eyes on Fire, the remix by Zed Zed. Mm-hmm. And
Cloudburn.
Yeah, Cloudburn by Feeny. All of those tracks just inspired us to start the genre because they weren't just straight up dubstep, grime, and bass. They were very emotional. They were songs by every definition. And that's what made us think we can make that transition too. We can make real electronic music.
No. If you're gonna pick some people to model your sound after, I think Zed, Nero, and Feed Me, those are pillars in the bass community. Have you gotten any feedback from any of your idols, either the big three or any others? And you're just thinking, wow, I've been listening to your stuff for years now, and you're telling me you like the Claypex sound.
Unfortunately, no, not yet. But it wouldn't be from those three. But we did get some feedback from people who we knew before, who are fairly big. We sent our Ready to Go album to a few artists to see if we can get it signed to a label before the release. And actually, Steve Aoki replied with, I think this is game-changing music, and I would like to sign it, sign this album. But
wow,
we had to decline for personal reasons. But we're definitely looking to work with him in the future as we still keep in touch with him.
Title track from the new Claypex album, Ready to Go.
So now that the album is out and, you know, you've decided to, you know, work towards playing live, what do you do at this point? This is sort of the question that a lot of young producers are faced with. You know, you've created something that you're proud of, you've poured your blood, sweat, and tears into. What's the next step? How do you get other artists to start playing it out? How do you, you know, get the sort of recognition that you want for something? You know, it's a world that's full of producers at this point, that, you know, the industry is stacked with talent. How do you stand out above the rest?
Well, we feel like what's most important, and of course what's at the core of every artist, is the music. And when it comes to that, we think that there's no end to it. There's always room for improvement, always room to evolve your sound and try different things. Like the recent remix is sort of a vibe that we've never really attempted before, because we feel like what really makes something shine is the originality behind the track. What we did with Ready to Go was we sort of stuck with the vibe from Loose Dirt in terms of the arrangements and stuff like that. And we felt like with this remix, we wanted to do something really different. We felt like we wanted to throw all of our mindset, like basically the mindset that we had for the first two albums, out the window and do something really from scratch, sort of. Just listen to that vocal from the remix and think what would suit it best. And we ended up coming out with what we came out with. And the reception's been really great so far. I mean, it surprised us both because of how different it actually is from our old stuff or from Ready to Go. But like, we think that that's what's most important, to focus on your music and improving and sticking to your, you know, to your gut in terms of what suits best what you're doing. If you start out with a progression, with a drum beat, you know, think what will suit it best, as opposed to this is what I normally do, this is what I have to do.
And of course there's that, and there's also the promotion that we got that was from Dubstep Guns, from video on YouTube. We really seek out promotion, and for us, YouTube is a really big medium. Our YouTube channel actually has more fans than our Facebook page does, and I think it really resonates with the YouTube community. They like to use our music for gaming montages, for parkour videos. For
such a blast to see that happen every time.
Yeah, and it's so amazing to see that happen. How people use our music so creatively.
Speaking of, yeah, we like to stick to the no copyright mentality when it comes to YouTube, because we believe in musical freedom. We think think that mm-hmm. if someone likes our track and wants to use it for a video or whatever, for commercial purposes or not, we think that they should have the right to do that, especially YouTube. It's such a creative place with so many original ideas and creative minds. They should be able to use music that they want. We really feel that. So, I mean, we get emails asking us for permission all the time, and we're always more than honored to say, yes, please use it, and please share it with us when you're done. We'd even love to see what you've done. We often share these videos on our Facebook and Twitter. I mean, that's something we really love to see. I mean, music should be for more than just listening and enjoying. I mean, it's always an honor to see people liking it enough to actually use it for a creative purpose. So that's something of a mentality we like to stick to, and that it also helps with promotion. I mean, more important than, you know, the number of fans that we see on our Facebook page is seeing our fans like really use it, you know, for their own purposes. I mean, it's a form of flattery. It's more than just a number on Facebook and stuff like that, you know?
Do you feel like the remix is a medium you really feel like tackling? Is that something that really speaks to you, taking somebody else's work and putting the Klaypeck stamp on it?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a lot more room to be... you hear the vocal and you sort of ask yourself, how do I put my spin on it? If it's a vocal that you like, then even better, because it inspires, you know? It inspires you as an artist when you hear a vocal that really resonates with you, and that's when you can come out with the most original and interesting stuff, when you get inspired by something. When you write an original, you need to be... I mean, you have to come at it from a perspective where you're already inspired by some sort of, you know, event or something. That's when the most original stuff comes out. You know, when you get a vocal, you can listen to it and sort of be inspired by that, you know, and immediately you're able to start writing something that's more unique. And, I mean, we do put our remixes up for free at a link that we have on our Facebook and stuff like that. We want to be able to treat our fans with freebies from time to time. So we do that. We have a couple remixes up there already, actually.
Yep.
Absolutely. And you know, in line with not putting copyright or giving each of your songs a Creative Commons license, you are all about just giving your songs away for free. Are you sticking to the new business model of not only the dance world, but the music industry in general? Just give your stuff away and people will find you and seek you out and support you?
Well, we look at it, there has to be a balance. We decided that it would be best if we stuck our original tracks. We stuck to the regular business model with those. Mm-hmm. Put them up for distribution and whatnot, because that way you also get them exposed, right? Because once you've got them all over online radios and whatnot, it gets to people and they can stream it for free as well, you know, like Last.fm or Pandora, stuff like that. It gets it out there. And yeah, when it comes to remixes, we've decided that we'll stick to having our remixes up for free on Mediafire. So that way it's sort of like a win-win situation. It's sort of a split model, but we think it's something that we can be happy with, because we want to treat our fans more than just, you know, it being free and being shared and whatnot. It's nice to treat our fans from time to time. We really like that mentality. And when it comes to using our original tracks on YouTube specifically, is where we want to be able to have no license and no copyright. So when it comes to that, it's YouTube specific. We can't really amend every other medium. But yeah, basically, for YouTube is the very least of what we want to be able to take out the copyright from our tracks.
Especially if you're jumping off of a balcony or scrambling up a wall, right? That's great. Johnny Attar, Mark Emanuel, Klaypeck, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Oh, of course.
Thank you.
An honor.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to Johnny Attar and Mark Emanuel. You can grab the brand new Klaypeck album ready to go right now on Beatport. Today's show is brought to you by Summer Camp Music Festival, taking place Memorial Day weekend. That's next weekend in Chillicothe, Illinois. Headliners include Pretty Light, Zed's Dead, 12th Planet, Flinch, Figure, and a whole host of truly amazing electronic and non-electronic artists. Please join me on Friday at 4:30 p.m. in the church. Get out of the heat, grab yourself some air conditioning, and enjoy the EDM workshop hosted by me and featuring panelists DJ Solo, Spankalicious, and Wicket the Instigator. We're going to chat about production, DJing, and above all, getting your hustle on and getting booked as an artist in the scene. Should be a ton of fun. That's from 4:30 to 5:30 in the church at Summer Camp on Friday, May 25th. Details online at summercampmusicfestival.com. Please visit theunst.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum.
and go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theuns.com. Join the conversation @theUNS Podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.